The Dana Show.
It's trespass. I mean, if you believe that, again, that that's a protected form of protest, I'm going to take my happy ass to your front yard and I'm going to do monstrous things in your front yard as a form of protest.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Kamala has kids, does she?
I don't think so. She's practiced a lot, but no.
What did you just say, Kate?
Nothing.
What did you just say? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lasher with you. That was Drew Barrymore to Kamala Harris. We need you to be the Mamala of the country. You know that phrase, I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. This makes me want to throw up a lot in everybody's mouth.
No, no, stop.
Yeah.
I want that phrase retired.
Why is that? Oh, stop being so cringe, people. I don't dislike Drew Barrymore, but that was really cringe. And I also don't get, first off, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Good to be with you. I'm already like jumping into it. I've never watched her show. I don't really watch a lot of TV unless it's horror or historical documentary.
Or sci-fi, Constellation.
Yeah, sci-fi. And maybe some baking stuff, that's about it. But I don't really watch like television. I don't watch like daytime shows or I'm here. But I've noticed in all the clips that I've seen of her on her set, Drew Barrymore doing her program, she gets right on the edge of the couch and gets real close to the other person. Have you noticed this? I get real weird when people get in my space. It's weird. And am I the only one who sees, like, she gets right up there, leans right up in her. And it's just, I don't know. Like, Kamala's there. Kamala has a very, I mean, read her body language. Her hands are clasped and not in a way that speaks of power. She's, you know, sitting there. She's got her leg crossed away from Drew Barrymore. So she's sort of, you know, angled away from her. She just looks uncomfortable sitting on that couch. Whereas Drew Barrymore is like all right there, leaning towards her. It's just weird. It looks weird, right? Maybe Barrymore's trying to go for the vibe of, I'm just here, we're having a ladies' chat.
It's weird because the couch is the size of two couches. So
yeah,
it looks like she's really uncomfortably close to her. When I think it was just a regular sofa, it wouldn't look so bad.
It wouldn't look so bad. But, you know, you need to be the Mamala. And then the audience, seals. Is that all it takes anymore? Mamala. Is that all it takes? Golly. I don't even know what that means.
She's not even qualified to be Mamala of anything.
She's a DEI hire.
Let alone the country.
What is this? Well, I mean, again, is this... Okay, first off, is this new? Audio Soundbite 20. Is this a new one of her saying this?
Yeah, this is actually very recent, yes.
Okay, so... Remember the last time she told you what she ate for breakfast? Now she's going to tell you again. Go ahead.
You know, my mother always used to say to me, don't you ever let anybody tell you who you are. You tell them who you are. Right? I have another saying. I eat no for breakfast. I don't hear no until maybe the 10th time. Don't hear no. Don't hear no.
What does that even mean?
Hardest hit, the Me Too movement.
Again, I feel like a Happy Gilmore moment. You eat no for breakfast?
No.
What does that mean? She eats no for breakfast. Like, she... What does that mean?
It means no does not mean no until, like, the 10th time.
From her or from that person?
Well, she's not going to take a no until, like, the 10th time. She can't hear it. Doesn't hear it. She eats it for breakfast.
Well, then... You would not want the no.
Unless she's hungry for breakfast.
Why is this so dumb? Why? Because she says this stuff. That's why. Oh, there's more. Oh, but wait. With the purchase of one slap chop, you get a second. Audio soundbite 21. S'il te plaît.
That you are worthy of and entitled to receive an investment in your dream and your ambition. And to seek out the resources that exist, and we're trying to make it easier for you to find those resources.
No, you don't. No one owes it. You're not owed anything. Well, I have a dream to be the world's best underwater basket weaver. And I am entitled to receive an investment in my dream and ambition.
Entitled?
Yes. Worthy and entitled.
So more than just given an opportunity, entitled.
We're past that, Kane. We're past giving people opportunities. They can't get off their lazy backsides and do something themselves, so the government will do it for them. No, you're owed to have someone else have their back broken and bent over so that they can afford you your dream. That's it. That's it.
That's the American dream, all right, huh?
Let's see. Yeah, the American dream is that apparently the government owes you one. Huh. That's the new American dream.
I wonder who funds the government. That's weird.
It's weird. Well, it's us, but the government thinks that the money comes from the ether.
Oh.
And they can just pick it out of the air. It's amazing. That's what they believe. I don't think I agree with that, but
they sure are generous with our money.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of being generous with money, can we hear Secretary Mayor Newmom, Vice Admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka, Poot Booty Juice, audio sent by 25. This is where our money's going. Listen.
It's because we recognize the relationship between housing affordability and transportation options. Specifically with regard to the program, recently, in fact, earlier this month, FTA announced $17.6 million in grants going to 20 communities in 16 states to support equitable transit-oriented development. And the goal is to, try to integrate our thinking about what are the two biggest costs for most households taken together, housing and transportation.
I wanted to look up this phrase, equitable transit-oriented. Well, you know, he's oriented for the transit, Kane. I identify as a train. Let's see. What? So they're everywhere, these things. So, like, for instance, the city of Austin.
Wait, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got city of Austin. They got, it's called ETOD, Equitable Transit Oriented Development. Their Cap Metro was awarded $3.15 million from the Federal Transit Administration's pilot grant to produce an equitable transit-oriented development study. Not even like an actual ride, just a study of rides.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So what does that mean? This is what the study, I guess, for the equitable transit-oriented development is. It says their goal number one, enable all residents to benefit from safe, sustainable, and accessible transportation. Number two, help to close racial health and wealth gaps. Wait, what? Yeah. Help to close racial health and wealth gaps. With transit? Yeah. What? Preserving and increasing housing opportunities that are affordable and attainable. Wait a minute. What?
All these things would be solved by the free market.
But that means people actually have to do stuff, Kane. People who don't want to do stuff want a government to do it for them. They don't want to do stuff. They want people who want to do stuff for other people so they can control those other people through doing stuff for other people to do the stuff for them. Lord. That's what it is. They also want to expand diverse cultural heritage and small BIPOC. Owned and legacy businesses. There's a whole bunch of stuff that has actually nothing to do with transit here, but why is it called transit?
It's transit.
The hell does closing racial health and wealth gaps have to do with transit?
It's not transit, Dana. It's transit oriented.
Oh, that's right. Transit oriented. Well, it kind of has something to do with transit, I guess.
It's oriented around transit.
Yeah, it's oriented around the transit.
It may
right?
have absolutely nothing to do with transit, but yeah. It's transit oriented.
Yeah, like saying that you're like, you know, well, you're a dude who wants to orient to being a woman. Well, you're not going to be anywhere near it, but you're, you know, you want to be a... it's so dumb. What is this?
So and this it's is equitable.
Yeah, it's equitable. And there are tons of these things in every city. They've got,
Chicago has one.
Chicago has one. Indiana or Indianapolis. They've got, City of Chicago. They got grants. They're giving grants up to $250,000. What? Lord, what? Yeah. And they have pictures of trains and stuff and buses, but I don't know what the hell that has, what any of this stuff has to do with trains and buses.
Is a train?
They want to promote public health and add to the city's tax base and solve racial gaps. Wait, what? What does that have to do? What?
They're not going to add to the tax base by taking tax money. How do you add to the tax base?
Shh, that's a math question. We do not like math here in the city of Chicago. Math is racist and unequitable. It's because it's math and it's unequitable. I mean, this is a joke. I mean, if you want to live in borderlands, this is how you live in borderlands. This is how it starts.
They've been talking, by the way, about equitable transit-oriented development plans since like 2020.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Indianapolis. They've got equitable transit-oriented development.
Since 2018. Mm-hmm. How have I not heard about this before?
Yeah, has nothing to do with actual, like, transit. They said that they wanted to enable equitable access to, like, housing and that. Wait, what? That's not transit.
It's transit-oriented, though, Dana. What it is.
I mean, it's a thing that identifies as being like oriented around transit.
Right.
This is what our money is going for. This is what it's all. Jiminy. You know how we get to situations like this? It's stupidity. It's amazing stupidity. Do you want to hear the dumbest, before we go into headlines, do you want to hear the dumbest video that I've ever seen in my life, and it's real? It's this rapper named Suki Hana who's talking to some chick about being a musician, but she doesn't understand what the word musician means. And I'm just going to say, this is how we get into this position. Audio sent by 24, please. It's worth every second. It's worth every second.
That's amazing. I didn't know that about you.
What do you know?
That you're a musician. But that's why I'm interviewing you today, so I can get to know you.
So I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
What the f*** that mean? Make magic or something? What is musician?
I think you're confusing that.
Yeah, I'm not no musician. I make music. I make music. And that's not all I do. I make music. I act. I'm a TV star, too. A young mogul. Uh-huh.
Just really quick, I think you're confusing.
I'm not confusing nothing because you don't know. You thought that all I was a magician or whatever the f*** you said.
See, that's what I think you think I said. No, I said musician, magician.
I don't think, baby. I don't think. What is that? That's ghetto. I don't think. I know.
So you
think.
I didn't say magician, Suki. I said musician. And I think you are a musician.
No, baby. I do music.
So you, just really quick, for the record, could you say you don't think you're a musician?
I'm not none of that.
But then after that, you just said I do music.
Yeah, I do music.
So, in other words, you're a musician.
No, I'm not.
People are old enough to vote.
I don't think gold co precious metals, because you want to make sure you're protecting what you have. You need a hedge against inflation, and that's what gold and silver can help you with. And gold co is where you go to get it done. Diversify, protect your savings with precious metals. They have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program while supplies last. Thousands of 5-star reviews. They've got a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they want to make sure you understand all the facts about how to protect yourself with inflation, national debt, and everything. Because precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. No pressure, completely transparent, and they want to make sure that you understand the whole economy of how gold IRAs work. Get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and your complimentary wealth protection kit at danalikesgold.com.
How much does it cost to live in your state? New studies show it costs a family of four over $177,000 to live comfortably. Massachusetts, it's over $300,000. Government continues to put their hands in one industry after another. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So in order to be considered wealthy in California, you have to make over $600,000 a year, according to a new study covered by KTLA. They said that researchers for this financial website sought to figure out how much money somebody needs to land in the top 5%. And they said, well, you know, not shocking that the figures vary depending upon where you are in California. They used Census Bureau data. But yeah, you have to make well over $600,000 in order to be considered wealthy in California. And
that's
no,
the top 1%.
Yeah, it's top 1%. Yeah, nobody's making, ain't nobody making that. Let's see. Mexico has endured the deadliest election ever. 30 politicians were straight up murdered.
What?
Yeah, that's in an election year. They had 30 murders, 77 instances where politicians were threatened, 11 kidnappings. That's what happens when they try to have elections there. They said that there was one candidate who was stabbed several times and he was on the campaign trail. It's crazy. Japan Airlines flight was canceled after the pilot got drunk at a Dallas hotel bar and police were called. Well, that, you know, there you go right there. I still would rather have that guy than a woman. I said it. Yeah, they said a Japan Airlines flight, it was going from Dallas to Tokyo, was canceled. The captain got drunk. They could not find a replacement pilot in time for the morning departure. So the pilot was disorderly. They had to call police for the pilot. And they said that he drank throughout the evening, and 2 a.m., a hotel employee had asked him to be quiet. So yeah, they weren't able to find, that flight was severely delayed. Stick with us, we got more in store. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget, you can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
You know, if I have my way in the next 4 years, I'm going to make community college free. And it'll grow the economy.
Why is he yelling?
It won't cost the taxpayer.
It's not going to happen. He's going to make it free, everybody. Free with the asterisk, meaning it's not actually going to be free. It's just we're all going to pay for it. All right, so I got to be cranky pants a little bit here. Welcome back to the program. Let me drink some more of my... I got to have more liquid rage here. Hold up.
Rage juice.
Mm-hmm. Used to, you're not supposed to drink coffee on radio, but I don't care anymore. Come and get me. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. I'm still mad about this since last night. And this has to do with this loan forgiveness thing. I'm gearing up to it. Give me a moment. Because you're going to get mad. You're going to share my mood here in a moment. So hold up. So, you know, you got Biden who's got this, you know, he's got a student loan, whatever. It's the forgiveness. I love how they say that. Forgiveness. Right? Forgiveness. First off, let me set the stage. The third greatest movie of all time, besides The Godfather and Lord of the Rings, is PCU with Jeremy Piven. And I tweeted out a link where you can actually go and watch it online because for some reason they're not selling it or allowing you to rent it or buy it anymore because it's too honest. Jeremy Piven's in it, and PCU is a prophecy. Much like Idiocracy, but better written and better acted. And it's amazing. It's one of the best movies that's ever been burned to celluloid. And it's an older movie. It's back before cell phones and TikTok and BS and influencers trying to sell you, you know, mass-produced Chinese-made stuff. And it stars Jeremy Piven, who's one of those dudes who goes to college and he just sort of stays there for like a decade for some reason. And he's a part of this frat, and they have this, their dorm is called The Pit. And they're the slackers and the stoners and the metalheads and all that stuff. And it gets in all the whole student body is broken up into groups. Like, you've got the lesbians, you've got the feminists, you have the black student group. You've got the hippie group that only play hacky sack and wear like crocheted hats. And you've got like, you know, all these people. You've got the debutantes, you've got the preppy nerds, right? Those dudes who wear their ties too tight. And, you know, their loafers are just a little too not broken in. I mean, it's just, you got every group and they all hate each other. And it makes fun of all of the division and political correctness. And at one point, like, they're getting ready to throw like this major party so that they can keep their house. And they just happen to get, and he follows me on Twitter and I will never understand this. But, you know, I'm very stoked about it. They happen to get, by chance, George Clinton and P-Funk to come and play their big party at the Pit, right? Because they're saving their whole frat house from, they got to pay this fine to the university. So they're selling stuff, like you got to pay $5 to go to the bathroom, all this stuff there. They're raising money however they can. And one of the other things that they're doing is that they sell end-of-term papers, right? So Jeremy Piven is in like one of these little side rooms of the Pit. And he's like, all right, what's your major? Okay, here's a paper for you. Here's a paper for you. And you've got this dude who comes up. And Piven goes, well, what's your major? And he goes, Sanskrit. And Piven stops for a minute. And he looks at him. He's like, you're majoring in a 2,000-year-old dead language? And he goes, Latin, best I can do. And he hands it to him. And then that was it. And it got me to thinking, that guy's a moron. And he should be publicly flawed. You know how at some... Maybe this has just happened with me in the Ozarks. There's one of the fun things that we used to do whenever there was any kind of like town party, town festival, town whatever, is you'd pay like $2 or however many, and you'd raise money for the fire department. You'd take a sledgehammer and you'd get to whack a car. Like, it was an old junker and you got to beat the tar out of this car, right? Maybe you could do the same thing with that dude, not a sledgehammer, but you could slap him for $2 because he decided to spend his money to major in Sanskrit. Now, that was his money. If you're going to waste your money, that's fine. When you waste my money, I feel like I shouldn't even have to pay to slap you. I should just get that slap for free. You know what I'm saying? So this brings me to my point of this guy named Joel Lambden. This guy's like older than I am. And we're all paying his student loans. I am paying the student loan of a guy who's older than me. So this guy... He's 49 years old, and he got $250,000 in student loan forgiveness in January. Now, see, he had taken out a loan, and he let it accrue interest because he didn't pay it off, and so he just let it get more and more expensive. He finished grad school. He went and studied music. I think if you're 49 years old and you're still trying to make it in music, you are a pathetic meat sack and you need to man up and like get serious about living your life because it's not going to happen for you. You know, like the dad who tries to live out his football dreams with his subpar playing JV string, you know, second string kid on the high school football team. You know, you got to like realize it's not going to happen for you. So he allowed all the interest to accrue and all this. And so it ended up being $250,000. And he finished, guys, it gets worse. He finished grad school in 1998, but he was hardly making enough money to pay off his student loans and other bills. Kane, it's amazing that Joel, 49 years old, wasn't making enough money as a musician to pay off his bills. I am so totes shocked. 49 years old. And he said he was trying to keep his student loans in forbearance. So he wasn't making payments, but all the interest was still just accumulating. And he goes, it was just so that I could subsist, so that I could survive. Now, the men I know would have been like, wow, I'm not going to make it as a musician. So I'm going to go get an actual job and make money and pay off my debt. Because that's what a responsible citizen that shows good stewardship of his fellow man would do. Right? Why is it, sidebar, that it's, you're not considered a good citizen unless you're paying off someone's bills? Why is it that the good citizen expectation doesn't extend to the people who are putting other people in debt because of their stupid choices. So Joel realized that, you know, he loved working in music. So he decided to keep his, he didn't want to get a different job. So he did, because he, I guess, works part time as like a, I don't know, violinist or a, I don't know. And he said he wanted to keep his student loan in forbearance. And so decided that they were when the pause ended, he was going to have to tackle his debt. And then he got all his loan forgiven. His whole loan was all wiped out. Isn't that crazy? So great for him. So guess what? Now the relief, and this is Lambden said, the relief allows him the freedom to not only still play his music, but also pursue some of his long-term dreams, including taking a sabbatical to study with his meditation teacher in India. So the guy who didn't go to college, who decided to, you know, actually acquire a skill, like a plumber or a welder or whatever, and gets a job out of high school or out of trade school or out of tech school, works good money, he's paying the academic welfare of this 49-year-old trash baby who refuses to stop pretending to be a musician and had his $250,000 student loan wiped out so he could go meditate in India. And we're paying for it. The plumber's paying for it. The welder's paying for it. The guy who works in landscaping's paying for it. The construction worker is paying for it. I'm paying for it. This guy's older than me and I'm paying his debt. Explain that. This is so asinine. I mean, it's funny because it's so pathetic, but it's enraging too. And what gets me is that this guy has zero self-awareness to even feel shame. I think if you can't pay your debt, you don't get your degree. If you got a problem with it, take it up with your university's endowment. They got multi-millions in some instances, like the Ivy Leagues, they got billions of dollars. Take it up with them. Because it's not our responsibility to pay for your welfare. And that's what it is. It's academic welfare. And these people look down on people who, you know, maybe go and get food stamps and need help every now and then. These people, and you know they do, they look down on those folks. But people like Joel, they're, by his standards, worse. Because he has no shame in his welfare. He thinks his welfare is more virtuous because it has to go with his stupid music degree. Why was he in school for 9 years? Number one, you're in 9 years to study music. Maybe you're too stupid for college. He's 49 years old, graduated in 89, and he couldn't pay off his debt. You are a lazy, slacker, beta male. You're not a man. You make my ovaries shrivel up and scream. I can't believe any woman would sleep with you, much less procreate with you. You are literally everything that is wrong with the progressive male sex. And on behalf of females everywhere, dear God, do not reproduce. You okay, Kane?
I'm all right.
Does it make you mad?
Yeah, it does.
Hmm.
There are all kinds of, I mean, $250,000, that's $250,000. That's a mortgage, and then some for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get a mortgage forgiven?
No, you can't.
Well.
Because you don't vote the right way.
That's
really what it is.
It's some BS.
Now, Biden's buying. Now, he's doing this. Think about it. He's doing this. We're like 6 weeks out from the election. Not 6 weeks. I'm sorry. We're not, you know, a few months away from the election. But he's doing this to pay off. He's doing this to buy votes. Who do you think Joel's going to vote for? Who is 49-year-old Joel Lambden, who had $250,000 in debt because he wanted to be a musician and get meditate in India? Who do you think he's going to vote for?
Where's that Jeopardy music while we all wait for the obvious?
Oh, answer. I know, right? It's just obvious. He's going to vote for Biden. That's who he's going to vote for. He's going to vote for Biden. I mean, I'm trying not to be mean, but I want to bully this guy. I feel like we should all get to kick his ass at least once. Right? What do I get for the return of my investment? You know what I'm saying? This sucker should be showing up at my house, waking me up every morning, playing the violin. Right? I mean, this, golly. I can't believe that people are proud of this kind of stuff. It's disgusting. And they're like, the money comes out of the air. It just manifested out of the ether. It's so great. I mean, I don't have to pay any of my bills anymore. Can you believe it? It was forgiven. Well, where did the money come from? I don't know. I'm stupid and I should get a refund on my college education because they didn't teach me basic economics. It's true, right? Golly. I can't even deal, man. I can't deal. So that's who you're paying for. I mean, there, you know how many stories there are of this? There's tons of these stories. I hate to say it. There's tons of them. Now, coming up, pro-Hamas protesters gathered outside of Senator Schumer's house in Brooklyn, and he was immediately not having it. We're going to talk about that coming up. And also, we got a whole bunch of stuff. We got big government. In the meantime, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at ReadyWise, because, you know, things could go sideways. You don't know. May happen. Or, you know, maybe we could have a supply chain disruption, power outage, storm. There's no short of catastrophes that could take place. But the thing is that you want to be ready to have food to feed your family no matter what happens. And that's where ReadyWise comes in. You can use code DANA20 to save 20% on any regularly priced item. ReadyWise provides high quality, delicious food packed at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. So from start to finish, you're supporting American jobs and you know directly where your food is coming from. And you've got peace of mind knowing that you have nutritious meals on hand that's going to support you to feed you and your family. They have an emergency one-month supply, two-bucket bundle, 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2,000-plus calories, 50-plus grams of protein per day. And it's no refrigeration required, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mr. Ghost, what in the world? Or, you know what? The alternative there is that he's doing the robot, which he could do, actually.
Could be.
I mean, he could do, I mean, that's, you know,
beep, beep, boop, boop.
Yeah, that's, he had a little malfunction. You just love it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the conclusion of this first hour. And it's,
The skin suit could probably be a little tight. It's probably what it is.
Yeah, they gotta like stretch it a little bit more and pull it. You know, pin it in the back. You know, cinch it. You know, just cinch it. Just get you a belt and cinch it. That's all you gotta do. I don't have anything nice to say. I don't. Just probably have some more rage juice. I have nothing else. It is. I don't know. I was looking at this tweet from the White House. I said this in a headline yesterday. There they go. Construction's officially begun on the nation's first high-speed rail project. And it's all because of Biden's investments. Remember the L.A. to San Francisco project that they were going to do? And it's like $11 trillion in the red because they couldn't build it. In fact, the company, the French company that was going to build it, ended up leaving and they went and built it. They built it in Zaire or something like that. They just did it there in the amount of time that they were still boondoggling it up over in California. So, yeah, they said they're going to have their first high-speed rail project. I mean, that's the most important thing, right, is the California high-speed rail was approved all the way in 2008. It had a $33 billion budget. Now they have to have, there's no timeline. And in order to finish it, they require, I'm not even joking you, they require $100 billion to finish it. That is an absolute thing. This is from KCRA Channel 3. California Bullet Train Project needs another $100 billion to complete route from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Is that a typo? They meant million, right? They meant
billion. $100 billion. San Francisco to, you know what? I will yeet you for half that. I will find a way to yeet you from LA to San Francisco with your bags. Just fling all the way there for half that price. That sounds like a deal, don't it? I'll yeet a bunch of you at a time. Fling your asses in the air all the way to San Francisco. I'll do it. For half that. We'll do it for half the price. Look, we're saving you money. Look at that. So yeah, it's a high-speed rail connecting Las Vegas to Los Angeles. They're so excited about it. They go, the high-speed rail takes 2 hours and 10 minutes. 3 hours by plane. And it's literally like just a little over 3 hours to drive it. Good grief. Stick with us. We got more in store. Our partners over at Kel-Tec. American-made, Florida origin. Florida born and bred. Well, yeah, I mean, they're made in America and based in Florida. And I love the story behind Kel-Tec. It's like one of the most all-American stories ever. You have a guy who immigrates to the United States. He's born in Sweden, George Kellgren, and establishes Kel-Tec in 1991 and has been making some really innovative stuff ever since. You've seen a lot of it in different movies and on my wall here in the studio, but a very, very innovative designer and always quality. And their Sub 2K Gen 3, this is just one example. This is the one that's been shipping. That's an upgraded version I have the Gen 2. The Gen 3, this is a 9mm carbine that you can just straight up fold in half, just twist, fold right in half, but you don't have to take your optics off anymore. No detaching out the optics to do that. It folds with the optics all attached. You don't have to mess with it. And they've also lightened the action for easy racking. You have an ambidextrous bolt hold open, redesigned trigger as well for a light and 5-pound pull. All quality made right here in America, in Florida. America needs more all-American stories like Kel-Tec and more companies like Kel-Tec. See not just the Gen 3, but the KSG, everything that they have to offer at KelTecWeapons.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. Sign up for that Kel-Tec Insider so you can get heads up on all their new products. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Trump and Roberts and Alito and Gorsuch and Thomas and Leonard Leo and the Heritage Foundation, if they get a hold, there will be no government left. There will be no rights left. You'll live under theocracy. You'll end up Christian nationalism. But that's all right, you little 26-year-old. You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
Give him some balloons. He looks like that dude from Up. That's James Carville. He's dude, I'm all for this. Let's just don't correct him. Sit back, eat your popcorn, and relax. Just let him go, man. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash with you. Just let him go. I told you I worked with him when I was the token at CNN, and we did a lot of election coverage. And there's a handful of people in the industry that I can, you know, there's actually a small number of people in the industry I can say really good things about. And he was always incredibly respectful, very courteous, I always got along with him. I liked him. He cracked me up. Him and his wife. Mary Matlin. I like both of them. So I just think it's funny. I mean, God love him. He's wrong. We got along so well, but he's so wrong. And he can be wrong. It's okay. It's America, free country. He can be wrong. But this is hysterical. So he's commenting on these 20-year-olds, like the youth vote, because Democrats are kind of struggling right now. Huh. Imagine that. You mean the same party that voted to centralize all of the college loans under the government is struggling? The thing that drove up college costs for everybody, they're struggling? You mean the same government, the same party that determined to change standards in education and introduce DEI and CRT, running down actual academic learning? You mean they're struggling with the young vote? Really? Surprise. You mean the same party that locked down schools and parks and ruined people's lives? People lost their graduations, their proms, their athletic events so that they could get scouted for scholarships and have a better way of life. You mean all of that stuff that was all pushed by one particular political party, that they're struggling with the same people that had to live under those rules? Huh. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I'm not shocked at all. So Dana Lash with you at the top of this second hour, and you can listen coast to coast terrestrially, and you can also watch the simulcast on X, Channel 347, DirecTV. We're all over the place. Now, I sent this out if you get the prep, this is in the prep, because they are struggling with the younger voters. Democrats are on the struggle bus a little bit. And it seems it's weird because it seems like the younger they are, the more that they're not. I don't know if November hinges on it. That's one of the things that The Hill has in an editorial. They're saying that November hinges on the youth vote. I don't think so. I do think that the elections are always determined in the margins, which is why independents are so incredibly important. But the youth never turns out the way that they're always projected to. I mean, as many elections as we've seen, every single election cycle, they're always like, get out the vote. MTV used to do a huge get out the vote thing. You remember that, Kane? Like MTV, like back when you had like TRL and all of that, they did this like huge get out the vote thing every election cycle. And guess what? Nobody went out and voted. It was always like record abysmally low turnout from younger generations. And it hasn't changed. That's just that that's a generational thing. They haven't changed. But as Kane points out, that's one of the reasons why Biden's trying to motivate them by, quote unquote, forgiving all of their student loans and indulging them with these stanky hippie protests, the little keffies that they're doing all over at these college, these universities. And so now I love, this is what cracks me up, because the Hill piece, they're talking about, oh, the youth vote hinges. The only people who think that are far left people high off their own farts. It doesn't hinge on, it does not hinge on Gen Z millennial. It doesn't. But you know what? And Carville pointed this out, because people are motivated by the issues that most impact them right now, which is why Biden's doing the college stuff. And I think the younger you are, and having been, you know, a teenager, a 19-year-old in my 20s before, I can say that, yes, that's true. You tend to react. You don't, people are, they don't look into the future as much as they ought to. But this cracked me up, because this opinion piece says, well, for starters, it's time to push back against cynical GOP attempts to link younger voters to anti-war protests. Actually, we're not. Leftists are the only ones doing that, because you're trying to claim them. We've been talking about frat boy summer, right? The proletariat, the boat shoesians. We've been talking about them. They're not part of that. And I see a lot of old stinky hippies out there. You got what's his face? Who's a got Bill, can't think of his name now. He launched Barack Obama's campaign, Kane. The weatherman. Oh, terrorist.
Yes, no, Bill Ayers.
Bill Ayers, yeah.
Bill Ayers?
Yeah. Bill Ayers. Barack Obama got his start in his living room. Sidebar, my dear friend and former boss, Andrew Breitbart, went to, one, this thing where he went to a dinner with Bill Ayers and another terrorist chick that he was with from the weatherman. And they hosted them in their house. It was like a raffle, and he won it. And he said things like, oh, man, Bill, these canapes are the bomb. Because Bill Ayers literally, his group set off a bomb and killed a dude. Oh, my gosh.
It was their thing.
It's just legendary. So the $146 billion in debt cancellation, they're trying to capitalize on that. They're trying to pay these people to go back in the fold. But guess what? That's not going to move people. I think that grossly misunderstands the psychology of millennial and Gen Z. You know why? Because they try to do this stuff to Gen X. They would try to woo you over. They try to, the only thing that they can kind of move the needle on is when they sit here and talk about abortion all the time, which is why they always talk about abortion. But nobody, honestly, they don't really care about student loans. And the smart college student is going to go, why did you have to do that in the first place? You epic moron. It's because your party voted to federalize everything, which drove up the prices exponentially. They just don't know. I think that Democrats, in some respects, are forgetting how to campaign to younger voters. It does. And that's why they've been losing a little bit of them. So you have Democrat strategists that are trying to warn them on this. And the gender gap, they said, is emerging even amongst younger voters, 18 to 29 years old. Interesting. So going back to what James Carville said, because he's hysterical. He's not wrong on this. He's just saying it in a tough love kind of way. I'm not going to correct him. I'm just going to sit back and eat popcorn. But you know what? It's not that much different from what the VP once said. Can we roll back this flashback of Vice President Kamala Harris? Remember what she said about younger voters? Check it.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. That is why we put them in dormitories. And they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
I mean,
I'd love to see
where's that Mamala?
I'd love to see like all the rioting on campuses in the on a side screen.
When Drew Barrymore was interviewing her, she was like, "You need to be the mamala of the country." Do you think that's what she had in mind? That mamala? You're stupid. Do you think that was the mamala she had in mind? And I hate the other thing. There's a reason I say that Democrats don't understand how to campaign to younger voters, because look, the road to the White House doesn't lead through a horde of blue haired fat chicks with facial piercings. It doesn't. So stop acting like it does. But that's what they do. You know, I'm right. Kane's dying. But you know, I'm right. Come on. Yeah. Where's that mamala? I can't believe I'm going to say this. But when she said that, do you know what I did? Because I was that age once and I was stupid. You know what? You know what I thought? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
Right.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. The Free Beacon has a piece called The Invisible President. And this piggybacks off a couple of other pieces that piggyback off another piece where they're talking about Joe Biden. I mean, he waited. You had Trump that has gone out and spoken about this. All these other lawmakers. And finally, just today, Joe Biden came out and said some things. He also said a couple of other things, too. It was pretty bad. But he's been, where's he been? He's been like, the New York Times had a piece out, and this is one that it piggybacks off of. It talks about Biden and the Columbia protests. It says he's a bystander. It calls him a bystander. That's the New York Times. You know, they're super conservative over at the New York Times. Kane, you know this, right?
Sure.
I mean, they're so conservative.
Sure.
They love Reagan. Mm. That's pretty fascinating. And, you know, they have the handlers that surround him and they shuffle him onto Marine One and shuffle him back. And this guy who is... this president who's tweeted all of this stuff about everything else has been so silent on this. He's being called a bystander. Now, he said something else today. I don't know if you guys... oh, man, this is bad. Biden called our ally, Japan, quote, xenophobic, and said they don't want immigrants. So I put this in Slack. Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about this literally just a little bit ago. Because that's kind of, oh man, that's a, so he was asked about this soundbite. She was asked about this soundbite. Listen.
The word xenophobic is a very pejorative and negative word, particularly to use against an ally. Is that what he meant?
Look, the president was very clear. And I think.
He wasn't very clear. I mean, that's why we're asking you.
Well, look. Here's what I'm saying. He was talking about who we are as a country, right? He was talking about the importance about being in a country of immigrants, especially as you see the attacks that we have seen very recently in the last couple of years on those attacks, on immigrants in particular. And so it is important for us to remember that we are a country of immigrants. I'm explaining where what he was talking about and how he was, what he was focusing on in those comments. Country of immigrants, it makes us stronger. It is important to let to be
that,
very
that
clear about
still
that.
Not answering
and
your
the
question.
President's always going to be really clear on speaking to you know, issues that matter to the American people.
What does that have to... He said that Japan was xenophobic.
What the hell did she just say?
Well, I'm in a word salad and things and stuff. And, you know, it's where we were, things and stuff as a country, policies, maps and things. And, you know, it's where we are as a country with the things and stuff, immigration, Biden policies, you know, allies and things and salads.
Unbelievable.
That's what she just... That's what she just said.
I personally believe
oh, yeah.
that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps. And I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as. And
oh, my gosh, that's the best. That's KJP. She could have been. That could have been her, man. That could have been her. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up. And in addition to all of that, more 2024 stuff, we're also going to get into, you know, Hamas rejected just the latest offer, right, of ceasefire. Black Rifle Coffee Company. It's the only coffee that I drink because everything else is commie swill. Every time you don't drink Black Rifle Coffee, Mark's wins. You can save 20% using code Dana. But no, seriously, it's the best coffee you're going to get. They have the best beans. They bring them to their facilities in Utah and Tennessee, and they roast them all throughout the week. They hire veterans and active duty. And everything that they do, they pay homage to American culture and military history. And this is one of the reasons why all of these other big coffee companies have put their crosshairs on Black Rifle Coffee, because that's a market that, I mean, think about it. Everybody drinks coffee. It doesn't matter what your background is. And when you have so many people going to Black Rifle Coffee, you're mainstreaming, you know, firearms, you're mainstreaming American values. They have like entire roast lines that are dedicated to first responders and police, and their coffee is just good and it's affordable. It's more affordable than that other stuff out there. They have tons of choices too. Ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, really cool apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, so much more. Everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And you're supporting American veteran-based jobs from start to finish, which is awesome. Veteran-owned and veteran-run. I only drink Black Rifle Coffee. I'm not even kidding. I do not drink anything else. And you can try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Join that coffee club and you can choose your roast, your frequency of shipment, and it's shipped for free to your door. You never have to worry about running out of coffee. So try it for yourself, blackriflecoffee.com, 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signs a ban on lab-grown meat in Florida. And he says, take your fake lab-grown meat elsewhere. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Now, because Kane's like, yes, ban the lab-grown meat. I'm like, I don't like lab-grown meat. But the people who would want to eat lab-grown meat, I kind of want them to eat lab-grown meat. Solve some problems for me. You know what I'm saying? We're going to come back to this. A man was charged with stealing a food truck in Wilmington. What a loser. 24-year-old Joel Silva was charged with stealing a food truck. He was trying to get through the food truck's window. He's being held on a $50,000 secured bond. He was charged with felony larceny. This guy doesn't look like, he doesn't look like he's combed his hair in forever. I think he probably has drug issues. I don't know. It was a boring story. Police found an ATM robbery suspect. Guess where they found him? Casino. Yeah, that's dumb. KTLA says that Southern California casino, it was a guy who targeted an ATM maintenance worker and stole a whole bunch of cash, fled the area, two suspects. And then they were at the casino having a great time, was the quote from police. So now they're in jail. That didn't work out very well for them. Oh, my heavens. So USPS is delivering more newspapers. The United States Postal Service. Publishers want dependable service for their subscribers. I'm full of jokes right now. I only say this because I think that one of the people who does our mailman. He wears a cowboy hat and he's awesome. But then we also get like some for certain deliveries. Sometimes we'll have a guy who just throws stuff over like into your driveway. I don't understand it. It doesn't seem dependable to me. Let's see. The U.S. is to require automatic braking, emergency braking on new vehicles in 5 years, which they can control. I am not a fan of anyone else controlling an automobile that I'm driving at all. That sounds so dangerous because the government, they've driven our country into a hellhole. I don't trust them driving anything else. Apparently, thieves stole 100 pounds of fish in Seattle. The smoked salmon is delicious. I mean, let's be real. 100 pounds of smoked salmon from a Central District fish market on Sunday, according to the business's owner. That's a very weird, specific robbery. They said it was at least 100 pounds, and it's $27.99 per pound. So do the math. We have more on the way. Stick with us. Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And they've been putting a lot of momentum behind some really good things. They've been standing with parents in Texas fighting to protect women's sports and girls in women's sports. And you can get free activation using code Dana, by the way. They've been for the past decade the only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious freedom, sanctity of life, Second Amendment, all of those good things, and that you want to, and you're going to spend less money because you're going to get a plan that's tailored to what you need, but it's not going to cost an arm and a leg. Keep your phone and your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes it easy to switch. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
we got, I didn't know what hat I was wearing. We got bigger targets. I mean, when you look at what, who just Planet Fitness, like, what are they doing? Like Ben and Jerry's, I don't want to put any targets on people's back. Target, like, I talked to the dudes from Bud Light or Anheuser-Busch, the CEO, and the people, like, man, they messed up. It's too bad they just won't say it. Like, hey, we messed up a little bit, you know, whatever, but that's not how they're cut. And, you know what? I got my answer, and I don't want to hurt people's jobs and stuff like that.
It's not you hurting people's jobs,
kid. They don't have any dog
in
the fight, but there's a whole lot more companies we should be going after for sure.
Yeah, and Bud's one of them. All they got to do is be like, yo, we're sorry. We didn't mean to insult all y'all ladies who also liked our product. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's not my cut to go ahead and just like grant somebody a pass when they haven't taken account of what they did. And they never said, you know, yeah, we messed up. They never said that. So that's what it costs. That's my cut. That's what it costs. Otherwise, I'm not going to drink your piss baby beer. Not going to happen. I can say that, right? Because I did. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. If I didn't, Steve got it. It's all right. I got a pass with Brent. I can say it. I'm messing with you guys. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this second hour. Why are we doing this? Why are we giving... it's not about... You're not hurting their jobs. It's Bud Light that chose to do that. That's Budweiser that chose to do that. Budweiser chose to hurt people's jobs because they decided to get this dude who is thinner than Twiggy to get up and promote their product. And they made a mockery of women by having this guy cosplay as one. Like, very insultingly so, by the way. And all they had to do was say sorry. That's all they had to do. Why is that so bad? It's an ego thing is why. It's an ego thing. I mean, why are you going to bat for Bud? Because how much does it cost for you to go to bat for Bud? What's the price? You know that's what it is. I don't begrudge people for being capitalists, but don't sit here and be like, oh, it's all okay because they gave us money. I didn't get an apology. I don't even want no money. It don't even take millions. I just want, we messed up. We're sorry. That's all I want. You have to, in order to have reconciliation, you got to have an acknowledgement of the wrong. That's biblical, guys. I mean, you know, that's just the process. That's the cut. Just saying. I don't get to why they're... Steve, you made... I told you to ask this question. What were you asking? Go ahead and do it.
No, for those who don't know, me and Juan and Kane all caught the audio and video before the show starts, and the first thing I noticed is that he had a southern accent. And didn't he have a whole song about being from northern Michigan? I was like, what?
Yeah. See, he's like, how are you having a southern accent, dude? You're from northern Michigan. He's from the top of the mitten, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty up there.
Oh, yeah.
What part of the mitten was he from? That bougie part? Where they had like the real nice restaurants,
like,
and it was like
Mackinac Island, is that what you mean?
I don't know up there. I've been up there one time. It was very pretty.
Like the Upper Peninsula?
It all looked pretty. I was like, oh, here's another pretty town.
Traverse City?
Yeah, like it was like north of Traverse, though. It was like up by the tip of the finger of the mitten. That's not accurate. I don't know how.
It's got to be like Paradise, Michigan or something like that.
I don't know. It was real pretty. Can I tell you guys a funny story? Okay, sidebar real quick, and we'll get back to everything. This was like a television episode almost. So we go up there. We went up there for my husband was in a wedding. That's why we were up there. Go up. We land in Traverse City. First off, the airport in Traverse City. I thought that I had stumbled through, like, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, except it take from taking me to a whole different reality. It took me to like somebody's lodge, because when I got off when you get off the airplane, you expect to walk into an airport, right? I legit was like walking past a stone fireplace and some plush leather chairs. And I looked at my husband. I'm like, we are in somebody's house. It was the weirdest thing. It's a very small airport, very pretty. So we get there and we rented a car and we're leaving the airport and we drive past this place that I insisted we had to go in. We were right there by the lake. And I wanted to make this stop because it was a very unique business idea. And I wanted to see in the inside of it. It was an ice cream parlor and taxidermy shop, right? Now, it was like dusky dark when we went in. By the time we left, it was dark outside. We go in there and there was these, you know, adorably taxidermied critters. Like I saw three, three badgers and a raccoon paddling in a canoe that was actually like a hollowed out log, and it was like really, it was really cute. It was adorable. All the animals were posing, very cute little things. Got my ice cream. I'm looking at the taxidermy. You know, God bless America. Wishing I could take some of it back with me. And then we leave. We go out, and there's this huge covered area, picnic tables, and there was no lights out. It was just, you know, it was a, you'd see the moonlight and then the light from the store. And this huge area with the pitched peak and all of that. And we're sitting there, and my husband gets this look on his face as we're eating our ice cream. And it's a look of, should I tell her horror? And ladies, you know what that expression looks like on a man's face. Because at first when he was staring at me, I thought, you know, I'm a woman. I was like, oh, he probably thinks I'm so pretty. It wasn't that at all. And then his expression changed and it just got very scared looking. And he goes, why don't we go step by the car and eat these? And I go, what do you mean? I'm like, we were sitting on a picnic table. A light breeze was coming in. It was so nice. And he's like, no, I think we should just go by the car and eat these, you know, and get ready to go. And I still had like my whole cone. I wasn't going to take a whole ice cream cone into the car, right? A car that I had just rented. No. And I'm like, just chill out. We're not in a race. We don't have to be there by a certain time. And he's like, no, I really think that we need to go. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And then he told me what he should never have said. Don't look up. So when you're told, don't look up, what are you going to do? Look up. I looked up. And at first, as my eyes were adjusting to the darkness, I wasn't quite sure what I was looking at. Because all I could see were the rafters and the darkness of this huge pitched, you know, covering eating area. And it was big. There was a number of picnic tables out there. And then I could see it, just the moonlight just bouncing off of what it looked like, little just like darts of lightning all through this dark pitched area. And then I realized that that wasn't darts of lightning. Is that a string? What is I mean, it was just tons of it all through this area. And then I realized what it was. We were sitting underneath a massive, massive spider nest, den, something, and those were all webs. Now, the scream that I emitted, at first it didn't make a sound, Chris said, because I blacked out pretty much, because there are three things that I don't like. I'm not really scared of anything except for three things. Spiders, crickets, and I'm not a fan of chimpanzees because I literally got into a slap fight with one when I was a child, and that's a story for another time. And it's just an irrational, unreasonable fear of spiders. I lost my mind. All I knew is that I pretty much blacked out. My ears hurt really bad after they rung because at some point the scream made noise. And I don't even know what happened to my ice cream cone at that point. It was gone. I think I threw it. I don't even know what happened. And then we were by the car and Chris is like, I told you not to look up. I'm like, you can't tell me not to look up. I could have died. We could have died to death. That's what could have happened.
They could have killed you so hard. You
I've seen them. Arachnophobia. Right. I saw that movie. Remember when Julian Sands, God rest his soul, he like kicked the bucket on Mount Baldy. Remember when he was in that barn and he looks up and it was all boo? It was like that. And so I had like arachnophobia going through my head. I'm just freaking out. And then you feel like they're all over you. Oh, my gosh. But that's the thing about Michigan, the spiders there, they are lake spiders. Apparently I'm from Missouri and now we're in Texas. We got scorpions. I can deal with that. I can even deal with rattlers. I the spider thing and the lake effect spider stuff. And no, thanks. No, you can have that all day long. So yeah, I couldn't deal with it after that. So that was it. But, anyway, long story short, Kid Rock came from that area, but he talks like he's from Alabama. I don't know. Is that appropriation? Is it? I don't know. I just don't know why people are defending Bud Light. So they gave you millions of dollars. Just be like, okay, well, they're working with me, or they gave millions of dollars to my friend's business. So yeah, I'm going to defend them now. Just be honest. Because otherwise, they didn't say sorry and they didn't really do anything. But I don't want to destroy people's jobs. They chose that, not you. All they have to do to not destroy people's jobs is to go, we're sorry. Why is the onus put on everyone else who was like particularly the chicks that you'd like to get with, insulted by this cosplaying, you know, twink, and you're going to go ahead and give them a pass? No apology? No, that's not how that works. No. We got to talk about eclipse mania coming up as well, Kane.
Oh, boy.
Apparently all the Airbnbs are sold out in the strip.
I saw that.
Where the, I guess where it's going to pass or where you can see it the best. All the B&Bs apparently are sold out. We're going to discuss that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So sometimes bad things happen to good people. And sometimes good things happen to bad people. And sometimes bad things that could be good things happen to bad people. So a Florida man was arrested. He got into a fight with four guests at a Disney World resort, a bar there. Of course, it's a bar. He made fun of a guest that had Down syndrome. And he had his head beaten upside one side and down the other. Good. That's, you know, sometimes people say stupid stuff and are mean and cruel and they deserve to get their butt whipped. And that's playground rules, right? Brent George was arrested and charged with four counts of battery. This 61-year-old was drunk at the bar. He downed three shots of bourbon and a beer. Are you serious? One shot and one beer, really. And he made his way to a table of four guests and made fun of a woman with Down syndrome. Her mother confronted him, asked if she was making fun of her daughter, and he shoved her, then slapped another guest at the table when she tried to intervene. And then there was like a slap off. But then an unnamed bystander grabbed him, removed him from the scene. And then this was after the husband stepped up and punched him repeatedly in the head because he deserved it. And then so the guy was taken to jail. Good on him. Good on the husband stepping up and whooping this guy. Looks like he hit him pretty hard, too. So there you go. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I saw this story. I was watching this. This is crazy. So in Florida, you know, you can put up fences. Don't people put up fences to try to keep gators out, especially if they live by waterways?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think those work.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Because this guy was filming a literal gator, literally climbing the fence.
What?
Climbing it. That's a picture of it. That's why I'm showing you on the simulcast. He's climbing the fence. Okay. Nobody's safe. What is happening, Florida? This under control, Florida. What is happening?
That's clearly why they put the fence up.
I know.
Keep them out.
And he's crawling up the fence. I can't even deal with it. Okay, I'm fine with gators. Not when they're on fences, though. When they're crawling up fences, that's when I'm out. I'm out. But... yeah, apparently, this is what's happening. The alligator scaled the fence, and the man filmed him, and then it flopped its way over to the other side and escaped into the pond. So I'm, like, watching this video. This thing climbs up, literally climbs up, and it approaches the fence. This happens literally in under a minute. And it runs over to the fence. Scampers, how do they move quickly? I don't even know. What do you call it? He goes over to the fence, and then literally under a minute, he climbs the fence and he's over it. The gator. I didn't know they could do that. Why are you so scary, Florida? Why? Why are you so scary? Oh, all right. So I got a couple of others. I'm not reading this one. This guy got in trouble. Orlando Weekly has a story. He was ticketed after he ate pancakes in the middle of an intersection. This is Lakeland police. There was a guy who brought, you know, those old, like your grandma had, right? The old TV tray tables. He had an old TV table, although that one would work also. And he had some pancake syrup and a plate of pancakes. And he sat in the middle of an intersection and was eating pancakes. 21-year-old Kieran Thomas. They were able to find him later because he was tagged in the video that surfaced on Facebook. And he lives in a house like 100 yards from the intersection. He told officers it was a prank, but they charged him with placing an obstruction in the roadway and disrupting the free flow of traffic. So he went to court and everything. That was wild. Let's see. This. No. Mm-mm. There's this guy who promised food and drugs to a panhandler but tortured her with a screwdriver and bat for months, police say. Yeah. It's a worker at a mobile gas station. He told WFLA-TV that this woman, she staggered into the store on Monday, locked herself in the bathroom crying. She escaped from a van that had been parked at the Walgreens nearby. And then the guy at the mobile station noticed a guy driving the van away and then called the sheriff's office. She had been tortured and held against her will for months. She was a panhandler, and a guy offered to give her drugs and food in January. And then he would beat her with a baseball bat, and he would torture her with a screwdriver, and he kept her against her will for months. So they did arrest him, this dude. He's 48-year-old Walter Medina of Tampa. I can't believe he's 48 years old. He looks way older than that. But they got him for kidnapping, aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer as well, because he wasn't going quietly, and robbery. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, were there other victims? I mean, that could not have been the first person that he did that with. And a Florida man was arrested after the airboat he was in piloting overturned in the Everglades when taking a sharp turn for a passenger to see a gator. So this is WTVJ, the NBC affiliate in Tampa. They didn't arrest the driver. They didn't release the identity of the driver, but they said that apparently he didn't complete a boat safety course and he didn't have a license to drive his boat. And the boat flipped over in the water so that he was trying to turn the boat so the passenger could get a look at the gator. And, oh, they got a good look at that gator, apparently. Thankfully, no one was injured. They just got minor scratches, but that was it. But can you imagine the terror? You'd take this sharp turn and, you know, your airboat captain, not really captain, is letting you see this gator and you flip over in the water right by the gator. Good heavens. We have more in store. You don't want to miss third hour coming up.
For the United States of America, there is nothing beyond our capacity. Nothing. If we do it together.
What was that? Bird
flu. There's a song that sounds like that.
Oh my gosh. I said on break, he sounds like a rager from Dark Tide, but that's like deep dive. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you.
Capacity. Nothing.
Just give me the cough. Right on that mic there. Get it.
Instead of beeping curse words, we should just lay that cough over the top of all the curse words.
I like that, actually. That's a great idea. Instead of having, you know. Can you believe it?
What a piece of...
What a piece of...
Literal cough button.
Oh, wow. Oh, top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. And X, we're everywhere. On all of the streaming platforms, we're all there. We're everywhere. And Channel 347, Direct TV. So, Kane sent me this story. And I had some stuff I was going to talk about in this segment. But I... Now, this is completely hot, just... Attention jacked the whole segment now. You sent me this yesterday. We had a headline on, or no, day before, right? Monday
it
on
was,
jeans.
No, it was yesterday that we talked about it. We saw it over the weekend,
though. Yeah. We were talking about jeans and how it made me think of it with this whole, with the concept of talking about the Cold War and Ukraine going into NATO, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how jeans became... Like the they were the symbol of freedom and capitalism. And North Korea has this old BBC, this gardening program where they blur the dude's pants out because he's in jeans, and they don't allow jeans in North Korea. It's true. You can only get one of several haircuts if you live there as well. I know. It's, but now they say that wearing jeans, first they said jeans and hoodies could help tackle climate change. That was in 2014. And now they say wearing jeans is bad for the environment. That's the new thing. And they said, I do want to know who, because the other one that I had said like 2-something miles. So this article said a study revealed wearing one pair is the equivalent of driving for like over 6 miles. Who sits down there and figures that out? I want to drag them behind my car. Who sits down and does this? Well, let's see. Figuring out my... my pair of pants is equal to how much driving. What a weird measure. Kane, how much driving is your pants equal to?
6.6 miles.
I don't know what the hell I'm wearing. I don't know what I'm wearing. I'm wearing
something.
Is there
something worse? So, because aren't jeans made from cotton?
Yeah, my pants are made from cotton.
So is it cotton?
I'm in brown, which is Wooden Goth discovered color.
Or are they trying to argue that the machinery that actually make the jeans are the ones that are causing
the climate about change? The child labor in the underdeveloped countries where they outsource all the making of their jeans now? Yeah. I mean, you know. Oh, that's right. That doesn't count. That pollution doesn't count if it's in, you know, if it's over, it's in Asia. That's white privilege. The pollution counts less when Chinese kids and Uyghurs that are imprisoned make the product. Did you know this?
I didn't.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, if you're mining over here, like, say you're going and you're digging for cobalt, right? You can't do that really here because, you know, bad for the environment and stuff. And, you know, the labor, you gotta, ugh. But if you are in Asia or if you are a black child in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it doesn't count as much. Because the white people that drive all the products that are powered by cobalt don't see it. You see how that works? The white progressives don't see it because they don't see the abuse of, which would count for over here, minority labor. They don't really see that, so it doesn't count, right? Nothing says racist white privilege like progressives acting like the pollution doesn't occur because it's in a country where they can't see it. Wow. That's true, though. That's how they look at it. Well, there's no pollution here. I just don't see it. Everything is nice and pristine. Meanwhile, in China, they literally have cancer lakes. Like, they call them cancer lakes. Everybody that lives by there dies. They're like pink. Google it. For real. Yeah. They don't care about the environment over there. You think China cares about the environment? No. No. But hey, it's not here. So it doesn't count, right? It's in China. It's in a place I've never heard of before. It's all the way over there. It doesn't matter. So now they were saying that in 2014, less energy was wasted if people wear casual clothing. I felt like they were trying to tell everybody to dress like schlubs, right?
Well, they didn't have to say anything about that in the 90s.
I just want to know where they get the arbitrary. It's like driving a car for 6 miles. Well, if you wear leather pants, how many? Oh.
That's like riding a cow for a half mile.
Right? It's like driving 5 cars at once.
A gassy cow.
This is wild. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. So, I don't know. I'm amazed. So now it's bad for the environment. They can't really. It's like how eggs are bad for your cholesterol, but they're good. But then they're bad again. But they're good. I don't know. What are they?
They're good.
Are they good for it again?
They've always been good.
Well, I know they have been. But like, what is it now? What does the Ministry of BS say now?
I think the narrative has changed since we've seen a lot of these carnivore and keto diets pop up. I think that eggs have. I think the bashing of eggs has subsided a bit.
I'm just saying, you know. So that's what they were trying to. That's what they were pushing. So now jeans are bad. The most iconic piece of freedom in culture is bad now. Bad to wear. I think there's been an agenda for a long time to try to push you to what Carol Roth has said. You know, you will own nothing and you will be happy. I feel like there's been I think I've told you guys about this before. Like the whole, do you guys know that whole tiny house thing? Can I just be honest? The whole shabby chic thing and the everything white palette and the tiny house movement are all to make you have no color, boring, dirty old stuff in tiny spaces. That's what it is. Shiplap everything. Just saying. I don't know. I get real weird with that stuff. Right? It's just weird. Like the tiny house thing. Did I tell you the one episode I watched where these people, they didn't have no land. They had no land. And they spent, I don't even know how you can spend. It was like $200,000 on basically an outhouse on wheels with a tiny little space for a bed. And they kept going, well, we love the fixtures. I'm like, you cannot even lay down in it. You love the fixtures. You basically take a deuce right next to where you sit and you eat your meals.
Yeah, or cook the meals.
Yeah. Like literally you're dropping a deuce on the other side of your stove. That's weird, man. That's weird, right? Right?
Yeah, no matter what the context.
And then I look at them, and they had a cat too. Of course they did. He was like an underwater basket weaver, and she braided tow hair. I don't know. And they both made $1 million. I don't know. And they had a cat, and they sold their yuppie apartment. They lived in New York or some urban major city. And they didn't even have any land. They're like, well, now we've got to figure out where to put our... we got to figure out where to put our house. It's not a house. It was a glorified outhouse with a bed area and a tiny little stove on wheels. And they made a big deal about the paint and look at the flooring. And all she kept going on about the fixtures and it's so well appointed. And I'm just cannot get over it. Couldn't even do laundry. And I'm like, where are you going to go do your laundry? If they have friends over, if they entertain, they all have to sit outside because they all can't fit in their little outhouse on wheels. They all got to sit outside, right? On property they don't own because they didn't even think about the land part of it. That's wild. You can tell that people are, in some respects, they just have no idea about property ownership. Well, we have an idea for our house. You got to have land first. What? Well, where are you going to put it? It can't just float in the air. Where are you going to put it at? Oh my gosh. I couldn't get over this. Hang on. They had a whole, I stopped watching it because I made fun of it. Yeah. They call it. Yeah. They have tiny house hunters and they call tiny house big living.
Is it big?
What?
Is it big living?
It's a damn dollhouse.
Is it big living?
It's not big living. It is a literal dollhouse. They're dollhouses. If I ever saw one of these driving down the road, I would die of laughter. I would wreck my car because I would have just seized and died of laughter watching it roll down. And these people, it's not that they're broke or they're struggling or they can't afford anything else. This is how they virtue signal. I actually was only able to watch like 2 episodes and I could not anymore. I just couldn't. Like when I watched this one lady. Oh my gosh. I watched this one episode. Right? I could go on about it. She spent like $500 on the faucet. And it was one of those big, curvy, like professional chef. And that's like on the cheaper side, isn't it? I think for those big, giant old faucets. Actually, it was like over $500 on her faucet. But I kid you not, hands to sky. She was balking over how much they needed for their little mobile, their version of a sewer system. She couldn't wrap her brain around that. She could not wrap her brain around it. She's like, but $500-something on this faucet seems like a good idea for my shack. It seems like a good idea. What am I going to do with my dookie? I don't know. She could not figure it out. And I'm watching this and I'm like, this is the country. This is the country right now. This is us. Right?
They're old enough to vote.
Oh my gosh. No, Kane, I swear to you, she was like in her late 30s.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Like this guy. They talk about this artist. He doesn't just make tiny houses. He creates micro masterpieces. Shut up. You're a damn dumpster diver. Shut up. I hate this whole movement. Hate. I also don't like the all-white palette. I feel like it's anti-everything. It's anti-tradition. Well, guys, here's an idea. Let's have everything be grayish. What? Imagine the color of depressing, and then I want you to make that your home. What?
All 125 square feet.
Yeah, all 5 square feet of it. Grayish. Mm-hmm. Just everything that, just imagine everything the same color, right?
Those houses are built out of shiplap.
Or the whole shabby chic thing, the men out there are like, I don't even know what that is. Don't ask your wives about it because you'll never get away from that conversation. Just trust me on this. That's where they had this lady designer take things that were ratty and tattered and like, oh, this is character. It's like how when people say something, like when they say something is rustic, it's just crappy. Rustic is fancy for crappy. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, right? That's what that means. Steve's telling me I got to talk about gold. I'm going to talk about gold because, see, we're smart and these people aren't. I'm telling you, we got to get moving. But this is all designed. It's all designed to move you towards owning nothing.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So there's a Arizona Supreme Court story from Arizona. They just upheld a 160-year-old law regarding abortion. They said that it goes into effect. It will go into effect in 14 days. It's kind of similar to some of the other ones passed. It was a 4-2 decision. They said that it's when they make narrow exceptions to save the life of a mother. They have every state has exemptions where it concerns rape and incest, etc. This one, that's very interesting that was upheld in Arizona, of all places, because I always thought Arizona was just a little bit maybe more to the left on that. A porch package dressed as a thief, dressed as a trash bag to steal a porch package, like an actual.
Did you see that video?
Yes, an actual trash bag. They actually dressed as a trash bag. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen, and were able to steal these packages, and also. They were obscuring their identity. You couldn't see who it was.
A garbage ghillie suit.
Yeah, they walked up. You know how like you see on like Warner Brothers when like Bugs Bunny or somebody would be a shrub and they'd like walk up and then the trash bag would walk up and then absorb the package and then walk away. That's one way of doing it, I guess. That's really wild. So you got to watch out for your stuff out there. This, apparently, it's the more expensive to die in California than it is in any other state. Really? That's, well, one of these states. They said they had an actual funeral directors. It's the National Funeral Directors Association. They did, the average cost of a funeral in the U.S. is like $7,800. But the highest prices for the the whole service are Hawaii, D.C., Massachusetts, and then California and New York. Those are the top five. Is anybody shocked that they're all blue states? In fact, all of the top 10 are blue states. Interesting. Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne is trying to poach New York's police for Texas.
And then committed murder with that gun. Taking our guns away is not the solution. It will not save lives because the sick, demented souls out there will always find a way to harm and kill. That's the problem we need to fix.
God love him. That's the father of fallen officer Justin Hare. And he was saying, saying that at the funeral service for this fallen officer, New Mexico officer, in front of the governor of New Mexico, in front of New Mexico lawmakers that had been using his son's death as a way to call for more gun control. Dana last year at the bottom of this third hour. And this was took place in Albuquerque. Officer Hare he was with the Logan Police Department. And I feel like this is how many stories of officers killed just in like the last week? Because it just struck me that this is, I think, like just in the past couple of days, like the third one we've discussed.
The media would like us to believe that crime is down everywhere when we know for a fact that it is not.
Well, they can't have it both ways. They can't say that crime is down and then guns are driving an epidemic of violence. Exactly. And that, because then we're okay. That doesn't match up. That doesn't match up. And he was doing, if you remember, it wasn't. I guess you could say it was a traffic stop. He'd only been, five years in service. He was doing a welfare check on a disabled vehicle, and when he stopped behind the vehicle, the driver got out, and they had a discussion because he walked up to the passenger window. The driver exited the vehicle, and then the guy just like had a handgun, shot and killed him. It's so sad. It's sad. That's why those stops are so dangerous. I read a statistic where it said most officers, that's how, if they're going to be under fire, it's going to be through a traffic stop like that. That's just so sad. But I loved the father was like, no, you're not going to be using my son's death for your gun control messaging. And that was his message to the governor of New Mexico. That's Michelle Grisham. Remember, she's the one who, she was the governor that had been declaring that you basically can't have a Second Amendment in New Mexico anymore. I covered that. We wrote all about it. But I just can't imagine going through that, such a painful time, and you're having to deal with these ghouls trying to use your loved one's death and exploit your loved one's death for their purposes. So he had a message for all of them. Good on him for that. I want to, and our prayers are with that family, the Hare family. I have some culture for you. Actually, I got a couple of, let me get into two GOP headlines. First off, God love Larry Trump. Don't make any more songs. Let's not. New RNC chair. Focus on RNC chair. Focus on raising money. I know she's like a superwoman and multitasks and runs marathons. Not everyone's a singer. I'm just saying. I don't mean that meanly at all, but I'm just saying, this is a smart idea that the Trump campaigns do. Well, it's a Trump pack. They've opened up a Biden Mart. And it is a way to compare your shopping bill, how much it's changed in 4 years. So you can go and you can shop at Biden Mart, and they're going to give you a comparison, a numbers-based, fact-based, cited comparison to what you paid for your groceries 4 years ago. So far, this is the smartest thing anybody related to the campaign has done. Yep. This is smart. If you want to get mad, you know, and then like if you need something to get you amped up to go work out later, go to the site. Go and look at it, and you're going to get real mad. It's Biden-Mart.com. Biden-Mart.com, America's grocery list. And you can go and you can see you can check off stuff. You can see how much. And then you can see the percentage increase and compare your bill under Trump and then your bill under Biden. I mean, dare I check some of this? So it gives basic, just a handful of everyday things that people would get. Okay, so we're healthy. So we'll get 6 yogurts. We'll get some butter because we cook with butter too. What else do we want to get? You know, the family likes ice cream. Let's do some of that. Briskets. Right. We're in Texas. 3 pounds of brisket,
yep,
maybe?
Definitely
okay.
Briskets.
Okay.
What kind of fruits and veggies you
get? I got some limes and apples and lemons. So you got to have lemons. Lemons. Let's do some limes too. Yeah. Skirt steak.
Skirt steak's good, actually. I like skirt
steak. Yeah. Let's get a pound of that.
Okay.
Oranges. Got to have oranges. 3 pound bag. What else do we want? Milk. Got to have milk for the kids. Got to get milk for the kids. The kids, sugar?
You got eggs or anything in there?
I'm looking at my, I got, yeah. Eggs. What else we got?
Cheese.
Let's get some cheese. I'm actually starting to get nervous now. I saw a meme the other day where the woman was shopping for groceries and they were checking it out and the checker was like, okay, Michelle, stay with me. This is a big one, okay? This is a big one right here. It's oranges. I'm getting ready to, let's work together. It was hysterical. Let's just, what do we want? Any protein? Let's get some chicken. And some chicken? Let's get some chicken, too. Let's get a pound of chicken. Okay. Oh, I'm not liking this.
Uh-oh. What are you seeing?
Okay. I'm not liking this at all. So far, we got, a pound of boneless chicken. We got 6 limes. Got, a few pounds of brisket. Got some lemons, some skirt steak, oranges. Got some milk, cheese, butter, eggs. I'll give you the percentage of increase first.
Okay.
55.31%.
Are you kidding? I thought it was going to be like 25 or 30 because that's...
No.
55%?
Yeah. For these items, 4 years ago, you'd pay $54. I believe this because I grocery shop.
Yeah.
Now, and this is why I started getting nervous because I knew what it was going to be. $85. That's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Good Lord.
Yep. Yep.
We've all been seeing it. We've all been feeling it.
I'm really mad now, and I don't want to play with this site no more. That's, I'm telling you, it's a really good tool. That's the smartest thing that the campaign has done. You want to hear something dumb?
Yes.
Of course. So this is from Not the Bee. You've got, who likes, I mean, you remember Peter Pan, right? And Alice in Wonderland, right? So this is a British university. They're slapping warning labels on these two titles for colonialist narratives, which center white supremacy. Mm-hmm. They say it is a content warning and position statement, and it tells people what to be upset about, I guess, in the books. And they, the trigger warning, why is it? Hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why is there 7 paragraphs for the trigger warning? This is at York St. John University. And this is what they say about the book. Quote, within the 150 years of children's writing, which is represented in the collection, there's a widespread occurrence of colonialist narratives which center white supremacy and racist and orientalist methods of both fictional and historical storytelling. King. And as of such, the items consulted from the collection will include language and visual imagery which is racist, and many people may find their contents upsetting and offensive. What? I'm trying to remember what was offensive about, like, Alice in Wonderland and stuff. The Cheshire Cat? I don't know. I don't... Why is everything racist? Because it's not. They've got to have something. They've got to have something to complain about. So, everything... Yeah, in addition to that, Megan Rapinoe's back. She is such a Karen. I got to tell you. So can I be really, really honest in a non-offensive way? I don't care about being offensive. She is not my stereotype of a lesbian. No. Because she's too bitchy. Can I be real?
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean... You're too much of a bee. I just, like, that's not my stereotype of lesbians. They usually don't really care, right? They're not like this angsty and Karen-y. I'm just saying they aren't. That is not my purview. She's mad again. She got mad because a Christian said something Christian. What? Nose. So this... United States women's national team midfielder Corbin Albert. I really wish she wouldn't have apologized. She literally was talking about faith, and her faith includes same-sex, is against same-sex marriage. It's a Christian faith. Hi, Christian says something Christian. And she had posted something about her faith on, I guess it was Instagram. And then Megan Rapinoe got everybody mad at her. And people were like, way to end your career. Like, they were going to end this chick's career because she's literally posted something from her position of faith on Instagram. And they said it was anti-alphabet because it was about traditional marriage or marriage. The girl is 20 years old. So you have old hag Megan Rapinoe who gets real mad at this 20-year-old girl and goes at her. Which, and Corbin Albert should not have apologized at all. My thinking is, normally I don't like to defend cowards, right? My thinking is, though, she's like 20 years old. She's young. She's never had to experience this. She's like, you know, they're literally, people were talking about ending her career because of this. And she had, I want to sincerely apologize for my actions on social media, blah, blah, blah. She didn't do anything wrong. She literally did nothing wrong. She was talking about how, and it wasn't even about alphabet stuff. She was actually talking about, marriage, and then it was specifically what she had said was transgender. And she thought that transgenderism was wrong. But you have the trans activists that are trying so hard to co-opt all the other letters. And then people like Megan Rapinoe, who are so desperate for attention to stay relevant, so they have to ride the next wave of outrage, seize upon it. This is so, it's sad. It is so sad. And this, and Corbin Albert's like apparently a like a rising star in the women's national team. I think that Megan Rapinoe's jealous of her, honestly, is what it sounds like. It sounds like Megan Rapinoe is jealous of her because she's younger and she has a huge career ahead of her. And Megan Rapinoe saw an opportunity to take a dig at a female that she views as a rival. That's what it sounds like. That's just so, like, sad. That's so sad. And this is, I don't know. Like, can we stop focusing on sex with every aspect of everything? Either play soccer or STFU. Nobody cares how you have sex. Again, you freaks, stop obsessing over it. I don't like it when it would be, it doesn't matter what flavor you are. It doesn't matter. Nobody care. It would be like it don't care if you're like straight or gay. Just stop it. Good night. Just done with it. It's overrepresented, oversaturated. Stop forcing it down everybody's throats. I feel bad for her. But at the same time, don't run away from this stuff. Don't bend the knee. The moment you do, you're done. Because an apology is not what anybody wants. They don't care if she apologizes. They're out for blood. And if they see that she apologizes, that just means that they got a wound on her. And they're going to keep going because it's never about reconciliation. It's about destruction. That's how hollow and shallow the motivation for these people is. It's not about reconciliation. They don't want to live in peace with you. They don't want to coexist. They want to destroy. That's the whole point. That's why they turn their back on reconciliation. So apologies are meaningless. And especially when you've done nothing wrong.
What are you here protesting about?
I hate old white men.
I'm protesting the American Empire.
The American government is funding a genocide with our tax money.
Yes,
I'm protesting the American government. Support that.
Why are you mad at Joe Biden?
Joe Biden is an old white man.
He's a clown.
He's supporting Israel against Palestine. That's what we're angry about.
He's racist. He's ruining the country.
He's not listening to the American people.
No genocide, Joe. The whole damn system's got to go.
Good night. So these are some folks that are upset over Joe Biden's support of what? Because he's not supportive of Israel.
It's over Democrat policies, apparently.
They're mad. Yeah, they're, I mean, mad about something. It's not because they're, it's not, he doesn't seem to be supportive of Israel. So they're mad when they say, oh, he's funding genocide. Well, yeah, our taxpayer dollars have been going towards Hamas. That genocide, is that what you're talking about? Terrorist?
Yep.
All right. Today in stupidity, ladies and gentlemen.
Man. There are some days that there's so much stupid out there that it's tough.
You having a, to make a bus?
Yeah, it takes a keen mind to decide which stupid to bring to the public. But KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, has said this. Listen to what
President, this is the Biden-Harris administration, have done the polar opposite, taking decisive action from the very beginning to fund the police and achieving a historic reduction in crime under his leadership.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Not only are those things false, but they're opposite of what she's saying, like complete opposite. There's been no improvements.
Yeah.
There's only been worse.
Well, and we're acknowledging we got Dark Friday, but we got Resurrection Sunday. So I wish you all a wonderful, happy Easter. God bless. He is risen, and back with you behind the mic on Monday.